like sit on the couch, turn around, and y'all could watch the back of my head.
No.
No, you don't like that?
No.
Man, well, how are we doing today? I hope everybody's staying safe, staying warm. It's treacherous outside, so
that's right.
Please be safe. There's a reason why schools have been canceled. There's a reason why the city continuously makes some even very funny social media posts asking everybody, begging everybody, if you don't have to be on the road, please don't be. There's a reason for it, okay? Things are slippery. Even myself with a four-wheel drive truck, I went and picked up Austin and Hannah this morning to minimize the risk, I guess. And even then, like, coming out of Austin's parking lot, slipping and sliding. Coming out of Hannah's parking lot, slipping and sliding. It's just dangerous. So please be safe. Please be safe. This will all melt eventually. That's kind of how it works. But eventually, if it will melt. But until then, just be safe. If you need something, holler at us. You know, we're able and willing to make some runs. We deliver groceries. We were heading to pull someone out who got stuck, but then another wonderful citizen jumped in and did that too. So please be safe. And how awesome is Chi Alpha in Starkville that they convinced a restaurant to give 100% profit for this fundraiser? That's such a big deal. So if you haven't made your order yet, actually you haven't because we just told you about it, make your order. This is a huge benefit. I know Amanda and I and our boys, we're going to eat good. And I'm not going to have to do anything for it. And we get to support missions. Right. That's just awesome. All right. So last week, we kicked off a series, Billboards. And we're hitting pause on that today. Because it's different. We know this is all going to be different. So today, I want to talk to you about one simple thought. Okay? Right. Just one. It's really easy. And today should be really easy for note takers because you can, like, after this is over, you can go back and rewind. But
right.
Y'all know how we feel about note takers, right? Note takers are
world changers.
Austin's got it. I'm glad Austin's got it. If you were with me in the comments, note takers are world changers. One thought today. You ready? Comparison killed me.
Oh.
Comparison killed me.
Tell us about it.
I will tell you about it. Thanks. We're going to start in the book of Luke, chapter 15, with the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to kind of recap it and pull out some highlights real quick. So, Branch kids, listen up. Here's story time, okay? There was this dad. He had two little boys. Oh, man, I got two little boys. I don't want to use Zeke and Jenna as an example. I don't want to bring that contrast here, that comparison. But there was this dad. He had two little boys. And when they grew up, you know, 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, the younger boy told his dad, hey, I want my inheritance. That's like all of the wealth of the family. It used to get passed down to the kids. Well, when there's two of them, split that in half, and then there you go. Well, the younger one said, as soon as he got old enough, he said, Dad, I want all my stuff right now, and I'm out of here. And Dad was like, I think this is a bad idea. And the kid was like, what, I don't care, I want it, it's mine, give it to me now. So the kid took his stuff and he left. The older son stayed home and he mowed the grass, took out the trash, helped with mom cleaning the house, took care of the horses and plowed the fields, and he did what he was supposed to do. All the while, the younger son the Bible says he wasted everything he had on wild living. Mm-hmm. All the dumb choices you could make. Like, this dude basically lived at Chuck E. Cheese. Every day, he wanted pizza and more Chuck E. tokens. And that's what he did. He wasted all of his money at Chuck E. Cheese.
What a life.
I mean, parents, you know how the story really goes. He wasted everything he had on wild living. And then all of his money ran out. Mm. He was out of Chuck E. Cheese tokens. Couldn't play any more games. Thanks. Couldn't win any more prizes. Couldn't buy any more pizza. Thanks. He was out. He was so desperate for food after he ran out of all of his money. He found a dude down the street from Chuck E. Cheese who raised pigs. So he got himself a job feeding the pigs. But it still wasn't enough money. He was starving. Mm-hmm. That young boy, he started looking at the pig food and was like, ooh, that looks good. It's not Chuck E. Cheese, but it looks good. It's not that extra pepperoni pizza, but that looks good. When we pick up the story here, Pastor Man, I'm actually not sure what verse it is because I removed the verses as I was typing it down. The verse numbers, it says, when he came to his senses.
17.
Thank you, 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have extra food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll just go back home. He said, the boy is like, look, I know I'm going to have to face my dad. I know I'm going to have to confess everything I did, that I wasted all of my money at Chuck E. Cheese. I wasted it. I know I'm going to have to confess. So here's what I do. I'm thinking through this conversation. And I'm going to say, Dad, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but instead make me like one of your hired servants. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So he packed up the extra shirt he had, packed up the leftover pig food that he was able to steal, and he started heading home. And this is where the story kind of takes a turn, okay? As a dad, I'd be very upset with my kid. Of course, I'd still love him, but I'd be upset. I'd be sitting at home longing for him to come home. So here's what happened for this dad. He said, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him, and the son said to him, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father completely ignores him. Dad was like, yeah, whatever. And what you said doesn't matter. He's talking to his helpers now, and he says, yo, go get the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Go get that super fat cow and let's kill it and have a party. Yeah. My son's returned. He was lost. He was dead, but he is alive and found again. So then they begin to celebrate. This is an awesome story.
Right.
But it just doesn't stop there, because remember, the dad had two sons. Older son stuck at home mowing the yard, feeding their pigs maybe, and plowing the yard, doing the dishes, taking out the trash, doing all the things he's supposed to do. So meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and said, what's going on? Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father killed the fattened calf because he has his son back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered all of your property with prostitutes, come home, you killed the fattened calf for him? Are you kidding me? I added that. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.
Yeah.
You see, the older son was fixated on the comparison between his actions and the actions of his younger brother. Obviously, we could all agree, the older brother acted in a more responsible way. He did the right thing. He made the right choices. And the younger son, well, he chose the exact opposite. He chose irresponsibility and stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, I think many of us could feel some empathy towards this older brother. What he did was right, and yet the younger brother still received the welcome home party. If we can, for a quick moment, remove the God the Father figure out of this story, you know, the older brother has every right to be upset. He has every right to be upset, but it was the comparison that killed him.
Right.
And y'all, comparison killed me too. I think too often we felt, I felt connection with the younger son, the prodigal son, because of my own sin. Mm-hmm. But there's probably just the same amount of connection I have with the older brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just the same. And, you know, listen, I do my best to make the right decisions. I do my best to love people even when it's super hard.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'd like to be rewarded for my righteousness. Yeah. That sounded bad.
No,
it kind of sounds bad.
Yeah, I get what you
mean. Okay, if you're not like me and that thought has never crossed your mind, you're just more holy than I am, and I respect you for that. But y'all, I'm a real person.
Yeah. Right.
It seems like what gets rewarded is the crazy story of a major transition and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm stuck in this comparative model where, wow, maybe I don't have that crazy story of transformation. I've been following Jesus a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This comparison killed me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, obviously this is my pride talking. I recognize that. I pray about that. The Lord and I deal with my pride all the time. But I just wonder how much transformation must take place within me before my mindset shifts from, well, this is all about me, to we now have a new brother, a new sister in Christ.
Mm.
How much work is still left to be done in me?
Mm-hmm.
Comparing your life, your actions and your decisions to anyone else is the quickest way to become cynical and selfish.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Comparison will kill you. I want to lay out a couple of typical comparisons that we make in our everyday life. And if you have any extra ones, just drop them in the comment. Shout them out to me if I miss a couple that you compare yourself.
Yeah.
All right. What about comparing your skills?
Yeah.
Okay. First one off the top of my head, I'm staring at Austin. This guy is just sick. It's sickening the difference in skill level he has with the guitar versus, well, the rest of the world. Just me. But
it's
ridiculous. If I compare myself to Austin, I'll never measure up. It just won't happen. What about your skills on the basketball court? Y'all don't know this, but I'm still a baller. I still got it. I'd venture to bet there are not many people that I can't beat. Man, my pride. I'm telling you, my pride is just ridiculous. What about comparing football or gymnastics or pickleball? What about comparing all these things to the professionals? All right, I may be decent in my own community, but you put me up against professional anything, I'm getting smoked.
Yeah.
What about your mechanic skills?
Mm-hmm.
Can you change a tire? Can you
the lack of them?
can you put gas in your car? Let's go real basic. I mean, come on, compare your mechanic skills to a couple people in our church that literally build vehicles. I mean, it's just not fair. Like, this comparison will kill you. What about home repair? I'm the worst. I do good to change light bulbs, y'all. Light bulbs. That's it. What about your eloquence? How good you talk.
That's.
I'll just say it. I did that on purpose. Okay. How good are you at talking? When you compare your skills with other people, It's going to just drive you crazy. What about comparing your grades at school? Okay, with the smartest student in the class. What about, I know my boys, they compare the size of books that their friends read. Some of them read like super thick books, and my kids are like, well, I only read kind of like the medium thick books. But theirs are so big, and you get all these extra AR points. And
AR, man.
Goodness. What about comparing yourself even to your own specific field, your job?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about comparing your family to other families? I know we do this all the time. We don't want to do this, but we just kind of do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? What comparing like house sizes or cleanliness?
Mm-hmm.
What about comparing my kids with someone else's kids? What about comparing real life to Instagram life?
Right.
I know we're live on Instagram and Facebook too, but like, come on, y'all know this ain't real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Real life doesn't make the social media edit. It just doesn't get there.
Yeah.
You don't get there. We actually took some pictures of the way that we've got the phone rigged up. One of them's nice and neat and it works. And the other one, the Instagram phone, it's sitting on a tripod, but attached with hair ties to stand upright.
I've got a picture
smart.
Of it.
And we've got,
it's really smart.
We've got, the, as Amanda said, we've got the bed sheet over the door hanging up with duct tape. Like, that doesn't make Instagram. That doesn't make the social media cut. Listen, none of these comparisons are healthy for your soul. Not one of them. The only comparison that's actually worth making is your life before you met Jesus to the life you now live after Jesus. Because this doesn't bring shame and guilt or jealousy. This brings joy and gratitude because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I used to be dead, but now I'm alive. Comparing yourself to someone else is to assume that God got it wrong when he made you. Your life is not meant to mirror anyone else. Your life, you have not been called to live out somebody else's purpose.
Right.
God has fearfully and wonderfully made you to fulfill the specific purpose you were created for. You know, there may be aspects of your calling that kind of reflects somebody else's a little bit, but it won't be the same.
Right.
There's wisdom and talking and surrounding yourself with people that are ahead of you on your journey. Whatever your purpose may be, there are people that have done something similar to what God has called you to do. Get their advice. But their call is not your call.
That's right.
We're doing a reading plan as a church, and I've really been enjoying these. We're just doing a bunch of Bible apps collectively. day four, yesterday of the current one, Max Lucado was quoted with this thought. He said, "You weren't an accident. You weren't mass-produced. You aren't an assembly line product. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on earth by the master craftsman. We are literally God's works of art.
That's right.
But we don't always feel like it, do we? On any given day, we complain about our personalities. We wished we were taller. We aspire to have somebody else's body. We prefer to be gifted like our friends. Church, let me just tell you real quick that you are made on purpose and full of purpose. If you're alive, there's a purpose that God has placed in your life. And the only way to find that is to chase Jesus with everything you've got. When we tell people this, I got to make a decision. I don't know what to do after school. I don't know who to marry. Listen. Put all the decisions aside. If you chase Jesus with everything you've got, you will always end up on the right path.
Right.
Always, always, always.
That's good.
Beyond comparing ourselves to other people, I think one of the most destructive comparisons we can make is to our own self.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, 2017, I ran 100 miles to raise money for missions. That's a long stinking ways. I had a running coach. I had a nutrition coach. I was in the best shape of my life. I was a full-time youth pastor. I was a full-time husband and full-time dad of two kids. However, there were sacrifices in that season that I had to make to complete the task laid out for me. Sacrifices that I'm not willing to make in this new season. Namely, 6 to 8 hours a day training.
Whoa.
That's a lot of running. You get so bored. I mean, I was taking in so many podcasts and audio books. I mean, it was insane. You stop getting tired, which is a really weird part of like ultra marathon running. You just don't get tired. You run out of daylight. It's the craziest thing.
Whoa.
Today, I do really well to get, 2 to 3 to 5 miles in one run. And that's my peak. That's all I got. But comparing my running to back then to right now is unrealistic. Now, to be fair, I have way better equipment right now than I ever have before. I have this super fancy running watch. It does everything for me. It tracks every data point that I could possibly want. I have shoes that have a metal plate in them that spring your foot up when you push off, and it gives you more rebound. It's like cheating. Y'all. But a great sacrifice would have to be made for me to achieve what I did back then, and I'm currently not willing to sacrifice my spouse or my kids or the calling on my life on the altar of achievement. I'm not willing to do it.
That's really good.
But y'all, the problem is we do the same comparison in our spiritual life. We remember the most on fire we've ever been for God. Mm-hmm. We remember being consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit while we're in the altar pursuing Jesus with everything we've got. Man, and the fire of heaven just fell down, saturated the place. This past Sunday was a great example of that. Mm-hmm. If you grew up going to church camp, every church camp service is, it's just straight fire.
Yeah.
But we compare those moments to where we are in reality today, the day-to-day, this whole season, where honestly sin and mistakes are kind of the theme of the new season we're in, and we compare the season with that moment. Mm-hmm. And we just feel we're so far behind, we're never going to catch up. The comparison gap is too wide. But hear this. The Word of God says the Word itself will not return void.
That's right.
That means it will accomplish its purpose, whether you read it and you're at your best or whether you read it and you're at your worst. Uh-huh. The Word of God will not return void. And we do our spirit a disservice when we allow comparison between our best and our worst to destroy the possibilities of the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, of course, God has a big and mighty plan for your life, but those plans are not determined by your best efforts or your worst efforts.
Right.
They're just not. These plans are determined by your willingness to sacrifice your wants and your desires for mm-hmm. His. It's determined by your willingness to take up your cross and carry it daily.
That's good.
God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and said it like this: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Before you were even formed by God, mm-hmm. before you were even formed by God, He already had a specific purpose created for you. For Jeremiah, it was to be a prophet to the nation. For you, it may be to be the best mom or dad your kids will ever know. By the way, that is a very high calling.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody speak down to you if you're a stay-at-home mom, a stay-at-home dad. That is a high calling. Mm-hmm. The greatest influence you will have with anybody your entire life are the people that live inside your house. Maybe not just be the best mom and dad, but be the best spouse you could possibly be. Maybe that's your calling. Maybe your calling is to be a nurse, or a contractor, or a builder, or an engineer, or a real estate agent, none of which is intrinsically better than the next. But the point is, you were created on purpose and full of purpose.
Yeah.
And what happens is we develop our own identity crises when we begin to try to live out somebody else's calling, somebody else's purpose. We compare an entire season with a single moment. And of course, y'all, we remember our best moments.
Yeah.
These are the moments we brag about. These are the back in my day kind of conversations, or you know, it didn't used to be like this. There was a good old day. Y'all remember these conversations. We remember these moments, and we have elevated those mm-hmm. to an unrealistic standard.
Yeah.
I love my heritage and the way I grew up. But the back-in-the-day comparison to regular day-to-day, mm-hmm. it creates this comparison that a mountaintop, again, will never be reached. And there's this chasm in between where I am and where I used to be. What it does is create a level of self-condemnation that is hard to walk out of. Church, I'm just trying to tell you that comparison will kill you.
Right.
It will absolutely kill you. Maybe your comparison is, I don't have the spiritual gifts of that other person, or they are way more outgoing than me. They make more money than me. They're in better shape than me. They have a deeper grasp of the gospel than me. Good. I mean, how boring would our lives be if we were just carbon copies of one another? Right. Differences do not equal inequalities.
Right.
Not at all. Good. Differences simply point to the creativity of God and the individual purposes to which He created us. Mm-hmm. Differences don't equal inequalities. Church, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But if we cannot find a way to celebrate when the kingdom of God is advancing globally, we will never... Let me put some real practicality on this, okay? Mm-hmm. We have a church right here in our city that next week will celebrate their 10-year birthday. That's a huge thing for 10 years. They've been blessing and ministering to this community. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Hey, community church, I see you. We're praying for you. We're blessing you. We're praying for bigger and better things in the next 10 years.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is what it is. We kind of talked about that in the Buckets sermon a few weeks ago, but we're going to celebrate globally when the kingdom of God is advancing.
Right.
And if we can't figure out how to do that, we will never be able to figure out how to celebrate when the lost has been found. We'll never be able to celebrate when the prodigal son comes back. Mm-hmm. We'll never be able to celebrate our brother and sister in Christ who seems to be walking in the unbridled favor of God. Yeah. If we can't do it globally, we'll never be able to do it personally, and the issue is there are lost sheep that need to be found.
Yes.
They're stuck in the highways, they're stuck in the hedges, and we are to go and shake those hedges and highways loose, because they're chains of bondage holding people back from the kingdom of God, from living in freedom in Christ, from living free from bondage of sin. If we can't figure out how to celebrate when the kingdom of God is advancing globally, we'll never be able to do it personally. Mm-hmm. And the reason we can't is because we're comparing ourselves. We're comparing ourselves to them. We're comparing our church to that church. We're comparing our community to that community. We're going to end up cynical. Right. We're going to end up those bitter old people that sit on the pews of churches and... Mm. We're just content to let our church die out with our age.
Wow.
Church, I'm not willing to let that happen. We will be overly celebratory when one lost person comes to Christ. We will be overly celebratory when a church in our community has a major milestone. We will be overly celebratory when we hear of revivals around the world and around our country. We will take part in those revivals. We will send missions, send missionaries. We will be missionaries.
Yeah.
We won't compare ourselves anymore. Comparison will kill you. Church, I love you. I want to pray for you. Pastor Amanda, as I pray out, would you come join me up here and we'll say a couple of farewells and goodbyes and yeah. Well, let me thank you for being here today. This is, I know being here, but you're there. Well, these two are here, these three, but you're there. I see you. I see you. Hey, let's pray.
Yes.
Father, we love you. We're so, so grateful for you, for your word, for your promise, for your love, for your mercy, for just being you. God, I'm grateful that you don't ask us, your children, to be you. You let us be children. God, and you know children can go crazy sometimes. And yet you still welcome us back with open arms. Whether we've wasted all of our spiritual inheritance at Chuck E. Cheese or not, you bring us back. You love us. You celebrate. And so God, we too are going to stop comparing ourselves with other people. We're going to stop comparing ourselves to our former selves. And we're just going to celebrate. We're going to live in the joy of the Lord. Yes. That's going to be our strength in the name of Jesus. We're going to know what it is to be grateful and be content no matter our situation. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. Amen. And amen.
All right.
Yeah. Well, y'all know how we do it, right?
Yep.
At the end of every service, even if it's an online service, we like to say something. Can you click that button over there? I don't want you to miss it. Y'all get ready in the comments. Are you ready? It's on the announcement tab.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, click that one.
Oh, no. There's one that
says...
Okay, hold
it's
on.
Below the screen.
We're learning on the fly.
It's below the screen.
Okay.
It's by itself.
I don't think Austin's ever done this before.
I've never
That's
done
my
this
fault. Before. We should have trained somebody.
Okay, hold on. I see it. Here we go.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Y'all know how we do it. Get ready, okay? Get ready. Let me hear you out loud. Hey, if your kids are still sitting with you, yell at your kids when it's your turn, okay? So at the end of every service, we like to say something that drives home who we are in response to who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.
God bless you guys. Be safe out there. I know we had some issues and comments with the link, so we'll get all those posted after this with all the announcements. But if you guys need anything, we're here. We love you. God bless.
God bless.
Woo.